Thank you, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be alive and serving you at this particular time. Thousands of years have passed, but you chose us for this time. You determine our times and our seasons. Father, may we shine for you. May we live a spirit-filled life, walking in your glory. Hallelujah. In this particular time, you've chosen us to shine brightly at this particular time. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of serving you. Now, Father, as I proceed with your word, I pray, Father, that every person on the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word and a heart to receive your word. Thus having their lives changed because of the word. Hallelujah. So I thank you for that. Thank you for the honor of ministering your word. And Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory. For you are the maker of all the heavens and the earth. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. 2 weeks ago, I started this message, and I didn't really finish. And of course, as you know, last week was Father's Day weekend. So what I want to do today is pick up pretty much where I left off last week, although I may cover a few things that I covered, not last week, but 2 weeks ago. I may cover a few things that I covered then, but I want you to have your hearts open to receive the word of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to go back to the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, Mark, the 16th chapter. And beginning at verse 14, it says, he later appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, before I read any further, I want you to do something for me. I want you to look at the person right beside you, maybe your spouse, maybe a friend, someone, and just tell them, he has risen. He is alive. Glory to God. He has risen. And he is alive. And let me tell you something, we must believe that. We must believe that. And when I say believe that, I'm not just talking about just head belief, but I'm talking about heart belief. Heart belief says I'm resting everything on him. I'm placing my future on the fact that he rose again from the dead. I make my decisions in life based on the fact that he rose again from the dead. And because he rose again from the dead, I have eternal life. Because I have received Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I believe. Cannot see him, but I believe it. Amen. And so he had to rebuke these guys because they were in doubt. But let me read on. Verse 15. And he said to them, go, listen now. We covered this 2 weeks ago, but I'll read it again. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And let me read on. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and set where? And sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went out and did what? Preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, again, my subject is the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. And of course, we know that the church collectively, our purpose is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is to be preached around the world. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. But God established the universal church, the body of Christ, but he also established the local church, what we like to call the local church. That's the church that you go to every week. Somebody say amen. To hear the word of God, to learn the word of God. There is a purpose for the local church. There's a reason we're here. There's a reason this church is here. There are reasons other local churches are where they are. God sets them up according to his will. Now I realize man can get ahead of God or just decide to go and just think, oh, this is a good idea, and set up a church. Had a guy to tell me, this has been years ago, he says, you know, I ought to go into preaching. Because I can make me some money. How many of you know that ain't the reason? That's no reason to go into the ministry so you get money. No, that's not the reason. You go into the ministry because God called you there. Amen. But our purpose here, and this is the purpose of every local church, is to get the lost saved. Amen? Amen. And the Word of God is to be taught so that the saints can mature. And we covered that. We talked about that some. You're not sitting in those seats just because it's Sunday. You're sitting there to hear the Word of God that you may move up another level in Him. You hear me? Amen. Remember Jesus rebuked the 11 because of their unbelief, because they had heard the word, they had heard that he had risen, they had been told that he had risen, but they did not believe it. Thomas especially. But guess what? We've been told also that he is risen, and we are to believe it. And faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. So you're sitting here today so that your faith can grow, so that you can become stronger spiritually, more mature spiritually. Remember, I told you, you can live to be 200 or you can live to be 1,000. There always be room to learn more. Even when Jesus comes to get us, we're not going to know everything. Amen. Now turn back to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I want to take you a little bit further. But in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, glory, hallelujah. And I read this to you, and I'm going to read over it again. I'll just pick it up today at verse 9. Well, I'll pick it up at verse 7 again. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Remember that. Now this, he ascended, but he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Look at verse 11 again. And he himself gave some to be apostles. You see that? Some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, we covered this, but I just want to read over it again. Now, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And I pointed out that he's the one that did the giving. Amen? But he gave them for a reason. That's the reason it is so important for me and every other minister. It's important that we do our job because we have been given. We have been given to the body of Christ for a reason. And verse 12 tells us what that reason is. That reason is for the equipping of the saints. How many of you know you need to be equipped?
Amen.
Amen. Every hand should be up, by the way. Yeah. Amen. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Sometimes folks miss that part. You are to be equipped so you can work and do the work of the ministry. Everybody say work.
Work.
You know, work is a four-letter word, but it's not a bad word. Now, some folk, when you say work, ooh, you have offended them. But work is a good word. Hallelujah. So for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may do what? May do what? May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So we should be continually growing and maturing. Now get that on the inside of you. Don't get to the place where you think you know it all. Don't get to the place where nobody can tell you nothing. You ever met people like that? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure you have. You know, they know it all. You can't tell them anything. Remember I told you, as long as I'm on this earth, I'll always remain teachable. Just the thing about it is I choose my teachers wisely. You know, you don't listen to any and everybody because not everybody's going to come at you with the word of God. Sometimes they'll take it and they'll twist it to make it fit what they want. We don't twist the word to make it fit us. Amen. The word's supposed to change us so that we can fit it. That's what life is all about, change. I think I need to say that again. Life is about change. And it's change from the inside out, not the outside in. When things change on the inside, it will work its way out to the outside. When God changed me on the inside, I didn't want to live the way I used to live. Before I was born again, I didn't want to do the things that I did before I was born again. I'm not going through my story again. I think I did the other night, but it is so important. And you hear me say it a lot, But it needs to be said. We must change on the inside, and it will radiate to the outside. It will work its way to the outside. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. Praise the name of the Lord. You're still here with me. We must consistently grow and mature in the things of God. Will you make a decision, please? Make a decision. That I'm no longer going to just stay in one place. I'm no longer going to remain static, just no change whatsoever. I make a decision today that I'm going to continually mature in the things of God. As I mature in the things of God, I place myself in a position where God can use me. I've heard Christians say, why don't God use me? Why don't God use me? Why don't God use me? Now, sometimes they ask that question and God is using them. They just think they need to be doing something else other than what God has them doing. But then in another case, sometimes God is not using them because they refuse to change. Amen. They refuse to change. Human nature say, man, this is the way we've always done it, so I'm not changing. You know, I'm not picking on anybody, and you've heard me say this before, you know, in this church, you're free to sit wherever you want to sit. You know, unless it's a designated seat. Otherwise, you're free to sit wherever you want to. But you know, just basic human nature, we all usually sit the same place every Sunday. As a pastor of this church, I can usually look over the congregation and know who's here and who's not. Amen. And you fine, as long as you're not sitting in somebody else's seat. You know, you didn't move their stuff and take their seat. As long as you don't do that. You know, that happens sometimes. This is my seat. I've been sitting here for 10 years. And so you're not sitting in my seat. I don't mind you sitting wherever you are. But I'm making the point that by nature, we like to do the same things the same way all the time. Amen. My wife can tell you, we go out to a restaurant and they have lots of food, but most time I order the same thing because I know what I like. But that ain't always good because sometimes you need to try something else. They got other good food there. You need to try something else. So you got to be willing to change. Everybody say change. When God speaks to you, when God deals with you about something, don't argue with him. Just change. Some of us, God is still working with us. But if we would have obeyed him 10 years ago, we would be a long ways down the road. But we didn't want to change because change is uncomfortable sometimes. Well, thank God for that one amen over here. Change sometimes is uncomfortable. But when God says change, we don't need to argue with him. We need to change. If we know it's God and it lines up with the word of God, then change, because it's going to benefit you. It's going to make your life better. It's going to bring glory to God. That's the reason we're here. You know what? I am not my own. God knew who I was, and you too, before the foundation of the world. Before the universe was ever formed, God already knew you, 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 you. He knew you all. He knew me. And he knew one day that we would all be here on this earth together. He even knew we would be sitting in this church together. He knew about, what's the day, June 25th? He knew about June 25th. He knew about it, and he knew where you would be, where I would be, before anything was ever formed, because he had a plan. And even when Satan tried to disrupt it, that didn't work. God had a plan. And that's the reason I prayed earlier, thanking God that we are here at this time. Things are going crazy in the world, and I know sometimes we say, oh, Jesus, please come. Please, Jesus, come. Let the rapture happen right now, Lord. No, the rapture is going to happen. But the word of God also says, not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, yes, and we're living in the last days, and you hear me say that so often. Believe me when I tell you, we are living in the last days. And Jesus is coming back to get his saints before the world blow up. Hallelujah. We're not in the tribulation. Since we all was on God's mind and in his plan, don't you think we need to obey him? Don't you think we need to consistently learn more about him so that we can serve him better? Because there's a reason we're here. Tell yourself, there's a reason I'm here. God has a plan for my life. Say it again. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, I want to read some scriptures. Maybe we can go faster. Guys upstairs, 1 Peter chapter, well, let me turn over there. I might get there quicker. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. Now let me start right there for a moment. I'm going to read on, but I need to start right there just for a moment. See, that's the reason we're consistently learning and growing. Because there are some things that need to change in our lives. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says we should be laying aside some things. I remember, we're going to continue, but I'm going to say this. I remember I was a teenage young man. And I was reading this magazine. I don't remember the name of the magazine. And I think Anybody remember the, what you call it, Dear Abby columns? Anybody remember those? It was one of those magazines and it had a Dear Abby thing in there. And I was reading the questions that people was asking this Abby lady. And one, and I understand, I'm a teenage young man. I don't know, 14, 15 maybe. I don't remember exactly how old I was. But I'm reading this. I'm there by myself, I think. My mom might have been there, but nobody was in the room with me. And I'm reading this book, a magazine. And somebody asked Abby this question. Listen to this. Dear Abby, is it a sin to have sex before you're married? So I read the question. Got my attention. So I read Abby's answer. I don't know what she'd say today, but I know what she said then. Yes, it's a sin to have sex before you're married. Now, you have to understand, I'm a 14-year-old, 14, 15-year-old, you know. And you go to school and you hear the guys talk about their experiences and what they did, and most of them were lying. Okay? I used to think, and I hadn't given my life to Jesus then, so I wouldn't save then. So I'm thinking, man, I you know can't wait to get me a girlfriend. Just can't wait to get me a girlfriend because, you know, I hear all the guys talking, you know, street talk and, you know, what good times, all that they were having. And then I read this column and it says, that's a sin, you shouldn't do that. Well, that burst my bubble. Now, you have to understand something. I guess I could write a book. But you have to understand something. I wasn't saved. I did not have the assurance of salvation, but I feared God. Because remember, that was pretty close to the time that I shared with you before, whenever I went numb, my whole side went numb, couldn't taste anything, my whole side went numb, and I thought I was going to die. And I went out, one Thanksgiving, and I went outside and I looked up towards heaven and I begged God, begged, Lord, please don't let me die because I didn't have the assurance of salvation. I thought if I had died, I'd went to hell. And I might would have, you know? And so I begged God not to let me die. So you have to understand something, you know, I feared God. But I thought, hey, look, sex is okay as long as you find somebody willing, you know, to go along with you. But then I found out, you have to understand now, I'm just telling you where I was. I didn't know any better. But then when I read that, I thought, man, that's a sin. I shouldn't even be doing that and shouldn't be wanting to do it. So you know what? I learned something. I learned something. I learned that I shouldn't be living that way. I shouldn't be doing that. Is there an amen out here somewhere? Yeah, y'all kind of quiet now. Listen. Amen?
Amen?
But you know what? After I learned that, I changed my life. Now, my desires were still the same. I'm just being real with you. Now, some of you said, man, I ain't never met anybody like him. What kind of preacher is that? I'm just telling you the truth. Still had desires, still had want to's. But I found out it was wrong. And some of you listening to me, maybe out there, you just found out it's wrong. Nobody never told you. Now let me get back to verse 1. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. But look at verse 2. As newborn babes, desire what? The pure milk of the word, that you may do what? That you may do what? That you may grow. That you may grow. All right. Amen. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So let's go back to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. Are you still with me? And I don't look like I'm going to get as far as I want to get today, but we're going to get this. Now look at James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all what? Huh? Lay aside, you have James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and all an overflow of wickedness, and receive what? With meekness, what? The planted word, which is able to save your soul. And it goes on to say, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So we must consistently hear the word of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 5. Let's move right quick. Hebrews chapter 5. I know one thing. The Holy Spirit wants to clean God's church. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Begin at verse 11. Let's begin at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. You see that? For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Why do I come to church? To hear the word of God so that I can mature, so that I can discern the difference between what's right and what's not right. I come to grow so that I can go and help somebody else grow. Let me say that again. I must grow so that I can help someone else grow. I must mature so that I can help someone else mature. Remember what I told you, that I'll use myself as an example. I am a shepherd. That's what a pastor is, a shepherd. shepherd, pastor, same word, same Greek word, poimen. My job, as with all pastors, my job is to feed the sheep. My job is to feed you. Say, I'm the sheep. My job is to feed you so that you can go forth and help other sheep. Remember I told you shepherds don't have sheep, sheep have sheep. Now, Pastor, what are you saying? You're not supposed to lead anybody to Christ? You're not supposed to pray for anybody? Absolutely I am. Because Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And I'm his sheep. So, yes, if I have opportunity to lead someone to Christ or pray for someone or however I can help them, that's part of my responsibility. But your responsibility, you know what? It's not my responsibility to fill these seats. Did y'all hear what I just said? It's not my responsibility to fill the seats. We built this church this size because God said to do it. Did you hear what I just said? This church was built the size that it is because God told us to do it. But by doing that, he gave us the responsibility now to reach out and to bring the people so that they can hear the word of God, get saved, grow, and go touch somebody else. When the last time you've talked to someone, stay with me, when the last time you've talked to someone, maybe someone you didn't know, and just carried on a conversation, and all of a sudden, the thought came to you, wonder if they are born again. Wonder if they are born again. Let me ask you, what'd you do with that thought? Did you look for an open door to ask them? See, there are times when God wants to use us and we don't even recognize it. Have you been in someone's presence and the thought came to you? Help that person. Give that person $20. Or maybe you've been in line at the checkout and it came to you, pay for that person's grocery. Well, I'm preaching real good right now. Pay for that person's grocery. Bless this person in some way. You know, it comes to, and you have the means to do it, by the way. God's not going to ask you to give someone $20 and all you got is 20 cents. That's part of our maturity is hearing from God. Being able to recognize when God is speaking to us. When you do that, many times that will open the door, not always, but many times that will open the door for you to talk to that person or persons further. You might find out that they need prayer. You might find out that they are going through things in their life and they just need somebody to pray with them. You still here? That's the reason you come to church, so you can learn and grow and mature and go out and touch the world for Jesus. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. Y'all got anything out of this yet? Oh man, I so much more I want to tell you. There's somewhere I want to go here, but I'm not going to have time to get there today. But should the Lord tarry, we'll get there. Is that all right?
Amen.
But I want to read you one final verse that is such a blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. Verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, listen to this, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all bound toward each other. Let me tell you something. He complimented this church because their faith was continuously growing. This is, as the pastor of this church, this is what I want for those that attend Word of Life Fellowship Church, those that are listening to me on the live stream. I want your faith to continue to grow. Don't let yourself get into an area where you just still and nothing happening. Receive the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Act on the Word of God. Go out and touch somebody for God. Hallelujah. When God looks at this church, when Jesus looks down at this church, I want him to be able to say, my people are growing. They are growing. They are maturing. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you. And I say right now in the name of Jesus, we are a growing church. We are a growing church. And I'm not just talking about...